Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockenspeth and Greg Pickle here talking all things Penn State football. We're going to get into some recruiting here in just a moment. We've got a good show coming up for you for about another hour or so. I always say another hour or so. It's always an hour. We're going to look ahead to the 2018 season, look at camp. Earlier in the week, we talked about the green, yellow, red light, how we projected the Penn State freshman class to go. We will continue and end that conversation this week with our projections. We're really in the meat of the yellow light section, which is the most interesting part, I think. Stephen Lassan from Athlon Sports, he's our college football editor, is going to join us a little bit later in the show, just really to get into their national rankings, their coach rankings, how they come up with them, what he's expecting from Penn State this season, and we'll round it out. This is our second week. We're going to do Take a Stand, where our boss Jim Galante over here is going to throw out some issues. Greg and I are going to battle to the death to see who's got who's got the best positions on those issues. We don't know what those issues are.
I don't wake up for much in the morning, but this is one of those things
we get up for. Yep. We don't know what the issues are. All we know is the person asking them has issues. So let's get into the show here, Greg. Seems like a good time to look at the 2020 recruiting class, and I don't know about you, the first glance to me is that there's a lot more high impact talent in Pennsylvania, in the mid-Atlantic. It starts to heat up, and I think 2021 is the same deal. 2019, the cycle that we're in right now, the more you look at these other cycles, seems like, you know, it's a confirmation that it's down, and you can see that and what Penn State is and isn't doing within its own state boundaries. They've done a good job in New England, have done a great job 2 years in a row in the state of Virginia. So I think 2020 is better in Pennsylvania. I also think it might even be better in that Maryland, D.C., Virginia area than it is in this cycle. By my count, in the 24/7 composite, there are 9 five-star players in Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, and then there's one in Massachusetts as well. And Penn State has done really well in New England. So you add it all up, 2020 has a chance to be a really good class too if Penn State does what it continues to do.
No question about it. We need to get our guy Brian Doan to get like a mid-Atlantic rankings tab, so that way when we have these questions, we don't got to keep clicking around. We can just go look at that and see if we can get that taken care of.
We'll have him on. He can be our rankings tab.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, there you go. So one thing I want to say, and this relates to the class of 2019 and the class of 2020, and it will eventually relate to the class of 2021 too, is that when Penn State is evaluating guys, they are looking for very specific things, and they need to check all of the boxes or almost all of the boxes to offer a guy. And there's some guys that just don't check the boxes they want that might check a box at Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State or Michigan. So sometimes the fans, and I understand it, but they get sort of freaked out when all these other big time schools are offering a Pennsylvania kid or a Mid-Atlantic kid and Penn State's bypassing. But Penn State, with a very experienced staff, has long known what exactly it's looking for in these recruits, and for that reason, they simply wait until they find guys that have the criteria that they want. So I just want to point that out as we get into this conversation, because there are some guys that Penn State hasn't offered in this cycle and probably won't in the next cycle that other schools will come in and try and get. So we'll see how that all plays out. I mean, to really kick this thing off, Julian Fleming and Brian Bressy are the two hallmarks of this class. Fleming, the Southern Columbia five-star receiver, soon to be, what, 4-time state champion at Southern Columbia. I mean, I don't know how anyone's going to end up beating that team in that classification. So he has offers from all over the country. Bressy's the nation's number one recruit. He'll be able to go wherever he wants. Just recently picked up a USC offer. Penn State, Dustin, to go 1-for-2 here, they got to be happy. 2-for-2, and I think James Franklin might throw a party. 0-for-2, and you're going to be really disappointed. Especially if you miss out on Fleming, you're going to be, quote-unquote, not dominating the state by not getting that guy.
The 1-for-2, if that's the scenario that, which I think is still the most likely scenario, mm-hmm. I also think within that likelihood, Julian Fleming is the more likely, is a lot more likely one than Brian Bressy is.
Yeah, agreed.
But on the Fleming front, it's worth discussing. You know, Josh Gattis starting out, formula relationship with Fleming, then going down to Alabama is something that I think that Penn State's wide receivers, I don't know what Julian's priorities are in schools and what he's looking for, whether early playing time matters. But if Penn State can prove that they can continue to develop wide receivers without Josh Gattis, that would go a long way, I think, towards reaffirming things with Julian Fleming, because you know you have a change up there.
Yeah, it's unfortunate too, because I mean I think Penn State was really sitting in a prime position to get him and really not just land him, Dustin, but get him and not really have to do a whole lot to think about it. I mean, I think that, you know, you lose Gattis, you lose Moorhead, and now you have to sort of reset your goals and reset what exactly you're doing when it comes to evaluating these guys. So, yeah, it had to be a bummer for Penn State when they lost out on Gattis, obviously, moving down there. But Fleming's been back on campus a couple of times since. David Corley is a pretty relatable guy. If he is going to go somewhere besides Penn State, I don't think the fact that Alabama has Josh Gattis and not Penn State will be the biggest reason why.
Proximity, I just feel like, is going to come into play here. And Penn State offers really, you know, a program the last 2 years that's so nationally competitive, hasn't quite gotten into that national title conversation yet, but they've knocked on the door twice. If that's important to you, big time football, it's here. Julian Fleming will be able to play close to home. So we'll see. That, I mean, he's a big target in this class, an exciting player to watch, and has been pretty consistent with his interest in Penn State from day one to now. I don't think he's shown any signs of that wavering. So Penn State will be, I presume, a finalist for him at least. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking some Penn State recruiting now. The 2020 class, we're in the middle of 2019, just getting a lay of the land, a feel for what 2020 has to offer for Penn State. And I don't know if you've really gone and tried to do the math. That's hard enough right now to try to do the
impossible.
Math.
It's impossible.
You know where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
The 2019 class is supposed to be a little bit on the small side, but it could end up pushing 20 by the time it's all said and done. That's often how these things go. But the 2020 class, we don't have any idea what the cap is going to look like in that one.
Yeah. No, I don't. I mean, it'd be, honestly, anymore, it's like trying to predict how many eggs a chicklet will lay. I mean, it's just, it's almost impossible. You look, keep in mind right now that when we talked about a little bit about this off the air, and I think it's a good conversation to have on, that we all thought Penn State was at 85, and then they give Kyle Vasey, the long snapper, a scholarship. That's 86 by our count. Then if Manny Bowen is welcomed back to the team, that would be 87. So all of a sudden, we're back to this thing again where, and look, and you said it best, and I'm going to just take the words out of your mouth. James Franklin's so far ahead of our little scholarship charts and counters and all that stuff. He's 4 and 5 moves ahead of us. He's not putting out a video of Kyle Vasey getting a scholarship if he thinks that he might have to not give him a scholarship because they might be over the limit.
Yeah.
He has it all planned out. It's all mapped out. Roster management is a strength of his and his staff. So we'll see. Dustin, at some point, you're going to have to need some guys to leave if you want to get back to having a 25-member class. I don't know if that's the 21 group or not, but I do think that you're probably looking at 20 this class and 20 the next class, if I had to guess this far out.
Just looking at, you know, I think probably from year to year, you have a pretty good list going, but junior eligible guys who after the 2019 season will be gone, just for giggles here. It's a pretty good, important group of players. Connor McGovern, true junior this year, will be done, assuming no injuries, whatever, after the 2019 season. Cam Brown, another true junior. Blake Gillikin, true junior. Miles Sanders, a true junior. And then you get into some retros. Ryan Buchholz, Kevin Givens, Tommy Stevens, Juwan Johnson, Robert Windsor, John Reed, John Patrician, Garrett Taylor, Sharif Miller, Aaron Monroe, Ryan Bates. So you look at Sterling Jenkins is a redshirt junior, Jonathan Holland. So you have a lot of Jarvis Miller. You have a lot of guys who are going to be due to pack up and move on. Guys who contributed early enough in their Penn State career that their eligibility is going to be an issue, I think. So I don't know how that factors into the overall depth and quantity and what they can take in this class, but I think I'm surprised, I guess, at this point, if the number is ever short of 20.
Yeah, I mean, they've just seemed, every time, you know, we sit here and think, huh, there's no way they can do it. And To his credit, and this is why Penn State's always one step ahead of you, because in December, Andy Frank said, ask the director of player personnel, I think that's his title, recruiting guru, master of math, engineer guy working in the football ops
really?
Department.
Really? Roster management?
Yeah.
Is his bag, you know?
Let's just call him the de facto general manager of the program, for lack of a better, easier way to describe what his job title is. He's involved with the recruiting department, roster management, all that good stuff. But at any rate, he had said back in December that, well, I'm always cautious to say that a class is going to be small because it might look small now, but you never know what's going to happen between attrition, between this, that, and the other thing. They could end up bulking up the size of your class. And, well, Dustin, without a doubt, Penn State could see some more attrition that would allow it to sign more players in this cycle currently and then in the next cycle as well. So it's such a fluid game anymore. And you're going to have this other thing, too, now where, you know, guys can play in four games, they can redshirt still, but maybe they play in four games, then they play, you know, and they had really, really good four games, then they come back with two really, really good seasons. You might see more guys leaving as juniors because of that as well. So, I mean, there's a lot to consider. It changes every single year. We don't yet know how the new official visit rules and all that stuff will impact how schools are going to play the recruiting game and watch their numbers early compared to late. So there's a lot to learn here. It's a constantly evolving process.
And it's fascinating to hear those guys talk about it, because by the time, you know, anything that surprises us on the surface, they probably knew about it months ago. Correct. Or saw it coming, or you know, that. But Andy Frank is the guy to manage all the ins and outs of the roster and the eligibility chart, which is complicated. Any read in 2020 on quarterbacks? They're still in pursuit of a second one in 2019. If it doesn't happen, I assume that agenda item will be pushed to 2020 and 2021. Right. They've been in pursuit of a second quarterback pretty much every cycle since Franklin got here. 2021, they offered a kid from Pennsylvania, Kyle McCord, who seems to be really interested in that offer. But what's going on in 2020? Are the names?
So there's not really any. I mean, Drew Payne was the only guy that they had put an offer out to. He has since committed to Notre Dame, Penn State. You know, with quarterback, it's interesting because they tend to not be in a huge rush, Dustin, to offer quarterbacks, and they're very picky about watching them throw and making sure they're all on the same page as an offensive staff about what these guys can do. So I think probably at this point they're just going to wait it out and see where things shake out. You know, there's some guys that are regional, but for the most part, a lot of the top quarterbacks in the country hail from either out west or down south areas that Penn State really hasn't recruited. One guy to watch out for, Tyler Van Dyke. He's a Connecticut guy. Penn State's been recruiting Connecticut well. 6'4", 212, an early four-star in the 247 Sports rankings. He could be next up on the list.
All right, we're going to focus back on the present, sort of the future, the 2018 freshman class, where we expect them to fall on the green, yellow, red light spectrum. We'll get into that after this break. Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
If you're looking for the largest selection of beers in the area, it's time to head on over to Route 15 Beverage Express in Dillsburg. Conveniently located right off Route 15, you will also find a great selection of local and craft beers, and you can take care of all your barbecue needs, as Route 15 Beverage now carries the great 409 Tailgate Club sauces and rubs. Head over to my favorite place, Ross Tucker, Route 15 Beverage Express. Convenient location, largest selection, and great service.